Coming up on this episode, we're talking about the biggest gaming convention, E3, Sony, Microsoft, new consoles, on this rant. Welcome to this edition of Rambling About Notable Topics. I'm your host, Kyle Cicilline, and today I'm joined by the ever-so-talented...
Alex Zarnowski.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Not bad. Big week this week in the tech world, the gaming world, in the world, I guess.
Yeah, in the world of everything yes. Tech.
Yes, the nerd world.
Yeah.
So, the biggest gaming convention, the Electronic Entertainment Expo... happens every single year in, I want to say, Los Angeles?
Yes.
Los Angeles.
Is it Las Vegas?
No, it's in Cali.
Okay.
I know that, but I think it's Los Angeles.
Vegas. They had it in Vegas one year.
Oh, okay. Anyway, and it's pretty much the gaming convention where publishers and gamers and companies come to show off their new games, new systems, basically just get people to buy stuff. Well, get ready to buy stuff anyway, get them pumped to buy stuff when it comes out. And
spend
this
money.
Year is especially exciting because we're on the verge of these next-gen systems. Even though one of them is already out, the Wii U is already currently out. It's been out since November.
And it's sadly chugging along.
Yes, it's slowly coming along, but
yeah.
We'll get into that a little later. So Sony had their keynote on Tuesday, and Microsoft was on Monday, along with EA and, I'm going to say Ubisoft was on Monday as well.
Yes.
And Nintendo had like a, I wouldn't even call it a keynote, it was just like a video with their...
Well, it's their Nintendo Direct
videos
that they're doing
now. Yeah, it was just a video, because they didn't actually have a press conference this year.
They couldn't afford to have a press conference this year.
Yeah, I know. Well, they didn't really have enough to talk about. So, I mean, it makes
sense,
but that's kind of a problem too, because if there's an E3 that you want to make an impression on, it's this one. So,
right.
But, that whole Nintendo thing is kind of a mess, but yeah, so this year is especially exciting because we have these next gen consoles, and, the PS4 was announced, in that press conference back in February, and they gave a lot of info and specs, and they didn't show actually what the system looked like. There was a lot of stuff that they didn't announce yet because they were still waiting on Microsoft to kind of see what they're going to do. They were kind of playing off each other for the most part here.
Yeah,
and
essentially they gave us what the controller looked like, and they gave us a slew of games that would wet our whistles until E3.
Right. And so Microsoft had their keynote... their Xbox One announcement, I think was it April or May? It was not too long before E3 started. It must have been May then.
It was the 26th.
Yeah, it was not long ago at all that they announced this thing, right before E3, basically. And they gave a similar introduction to their new system as Sony did with the PS4 back in February. And then... E3 was going to be the big deciding factor. It was going to be,
So, well, just back up for a second. Yeah. Essentially, it was the reverse. So, Sony gave an announcement without showing hardware, and they showed games, and Microsoft showed their hardware without showing too many games. They showed mostly what the hardware was capable of doing, because they're not pushing games as hard as they are pushing... they're pushing games, but they're also trying to say, hey, we're also going to control your TV and be a media hub for you to consume music and movies and television. And that's... we'll get to price later, but that's kind of their focus there. And then they focused on games at E3, which made complete sense.
Right, yeah. The Xbox One is all about... I mean, that's kind of the name... It's Xbox One. They're trying to get rid of all your other devices and make this the only device you have under your television set. The only device you'll ever need, supposedly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of their main focus. That's the point they're trying to drive home on this. That it's more than just a gaming console. It's kind of a social console. It's your television. It's everything. Whereas the PS4 is a little bit more focused on gaming, I would say. But yeah. So anyway, E3. What we found out was that basically everyone laid their cards on the table, more or less. Everything's out there. All the information's pretty much out there. It's all good to go. And Monday started off with Microsoft's press conference, and they announced that the Xbox will come out November, I believe. Yep. It was November.
In November.
They didn't give an exact date. It was just November.
No.
And it's going to be priced at $499, comes with the Xbox Kinect, the new Kinect 2.0, I guess, if you want to call it that. The System 1 controller, obviously, that standard thing. So, it's pretty much what people were expecting. It wasn't a big surprise. We all knew it was going to be more expensive than the previous consoles. And that's because it's obviously new hardware, new everything, and, you know. So it wasn't a big shocker that Microsoft announced a $499 price tag. But it's everything else that they announced that kind of made everyone kind of question what's happening.
It's a $499 price tag, but if you pre-order it and you go on the pre-order page on GameStop, you're going to pay at least $530 to $560.
Well, I mean that, and then by the time you get it, if you don't have an Xbox subscription, Xbox Live subscription,
there's another.
If you want to get another controller, you got to get that. If you want a game, you're gonna have to get. So you're paying a pretty penny just to play one game online.
Their bundles,
basically,
the bundles that they have supplement that to a degree, but
yeah, they're not really like priced any lower than they would be if you just buy them separately. It's just,
right.
You just get them at once, more or less.
Right.
It's not really like a bundle
and then
deal.
They're trying to entice people to get this Xbox first edition model.
Yeah, launch day edition.
Launch day
they're
edition.
Yeah,
yeah. And your controller has a special little like day one.
Yeah,
launch,
big deal.
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but the money. I mean, PS4, totally just pulled the rug out from under Microsoft completely, and. What I'm going to do with the money that I'm going to save with this price point, a price point of $399, I'm going to buy games. I'm going to buy their service so I can play online, probably
right.
Battlefield 4.
Which is required, by the way. That's one of the biggest changes, actually, from Sony to Microsoft is that, you know, last gen, Sony's online play was always free. PlayStation Plus was a bonus perk, I guess. You weren't required to obtain that. You weren't required to have that to play games online.
And
now you are.
Completely honest, it was not a good business model.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was. I mean, it was nice to have. I don't think it really sold as much as people thought it would. Like, I don't think people were thinking, well, should I get an Xbox or a PS4? Well, I'm going to get a PS4 because I want to play these games online for free. I mean, the service, you're getting what you pay for, more or less. I mean, Xbox Live is a pretty solid online gaming service.
It's very solid.
For what they offer and what they do, and the servers are always up. There's a lot into it. It's very in-depth, and you get what you pay for. You know, $60 for a year, it really isn't that bad. And I think the PlayStation Plus is priced similarly. I'm not even actually sure of that, because I don't have a PS3, so I never actually bought the PlayStation Plus.
It was like something like $4.99 or $5.99 per month.
Yeah, so basically, Sony undercut Microsoft in every aspect possible.
Pricing,
much. Pricing, hardware,
games,
consumer reliability, consumer trust, I guess I should say. Just everything. So they cut the price under $100, like $100 less. You're not required to play, the system is not required to be online when it plays, where the Xbox One is. The games are, the Microsoft Eye or whatever their motion control thing is called. Is it the Eye?
Yeah, something like that.
That's not it doesn't come with the system, and it's not required to use for like games or just to have on at all times. Whereas the Kinect comes with the system, which is kind of which is why you're paying an extra $100 basically. But it's required. You need to have it like on, and you need to have. Yeah, I guess the biggest driving point, when I watched the keynote, the Sony keynote, which I watched all of, as soon as they started talking about how there's no used game fee, like I can't think of the word,
there's no sort of, like, deal with the developers to get revenue from used games.
Right.
And there's no system set up.
You're allowed to sell your game. When you buy a game from Sony, it's your game. You can do with it what you will.
You should go on YouTube. Everybody should go on YouTube at the end of the episode and look up how to trade games on the PS4. And it's this brilliant it's a brilliant stab in the back towards Microsoft. It's just one of the heads of the software department handing a game to the other MC on stage, but not on stage. This is a commercial.
Yeah.
This is how you trade games on the PS4. And then they just show him handing it and then they cut. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. And when they announced that there's no used game requirements or that you're allowed to it plays used games and there's no restrictions on it, the crowd went insane. Yeah. They were applauding and yelling for 5 minutes. The guy couldn't even get a word in. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So I mean, and they really basically listen. It doesn't need to be online all the time to play. You can play games offline, which is big because I mean I don't think we're still at a time period where everyone will always have internet all the time.
No, we're not. And to be fair, Microsoft said as much. You do not need the internet. You can play offline. You can play the games you buy from the store offline. It's officially announced. However, if you have games and you have to install them, there's some sort of discrepancy. It's like, all right, every 24 hours, it's something about digital downloads, or I don't know if it's when you grab a trade a game with somebody that it's going to check to see if the key
is
legit.
Every 24 hours, yeah.
This is still, it's still very early, and a lot of this
and
stuff is being worked out, so we don't even know.
Right, and then the used game restrictions for Microsoft is so weird. It's very weird. I still don't even completely understand it, to be honest. You can buy a game, and then you're allowed to lend that game to someone else for 30 days or something, and then after 30 days, it's locked. You no longer can let other people play that or use that game or anything or something like that.
See, Sony did this as well with Rise. What's their other IP?
Infamous?
No, there's three of them. Not Infamous.
Uncharted.
No, they're the shooter.
Oh, Resistance.
Resistance. So Resistance, in order to play a multiplayer online, you'd get a key, and if you were to buy that game used, that key had expired, and that was the only key ever to play online. So that was their way of locking down.
Well, that's been
that used game model.
That's been the case for third-party titles, mostly third-party titles, since the last 2 years or something. When you buy a game like Battlefield 3 or you buy a game like Madden, you get this online code that you register, and that account, that number is then associated with your account. So basically, if I were to trade in Madden or if I were to trade in Battlefield 3, I'd be able to trade the game. And if somebody bought that, they'd be able to play the single-player mode on that.
Yeah.
But if they wanted to play the game online, they'd have to purchase just the online pass, which is it's not as much as the game itself. It's $20 or $15 or $30, something like that. You buy just the code separately outside of the game. And that's basically the deal that Sony said with the PS4, that the third-party publishers have their own – they can make their own restrictions on that.
Okay, right.
Basically, which is what that's going to be, is basically if you buy a game like Battlefield, you're buying this online code that if you were to trade it in, you're allowed to trade that game in. I mean, supposedly. Then if someone else were to buy that copy, you would also need to buy a separate online code just to play the multiplayer online, basically. Right. And that's what they're saying for third-party for titles. As far as their own titles that Sony produces themselves, there's no restrictions so far, unless it's a game that plays online where they may do the online code like that. But as far as trading them in, there's no restrictions on that. And that's great, because GameStop thrives on that. That's the only reason why they're in business at all. So,
I know.
If they were to ban all used games, there'd be no GameStop, basically. Yep,
pretty much. The other thing is indie developers have a lot more incentive,
right?
Because Sony's really trying to open that door for them, as well as changing their architecture to x86. And that change actually has a lot to do with how AMD got their foot in the door with every console out there right now. They did a sweep. there's a great article on, I believe, Polygon about how AMD went through all the talks with Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, and basically gave them all of the power. Like, what do you need from us? We're AMD. We're set up as a business to help you, our customer. So if you need us to change the architecture, we're going to work with you to do that. So they created the processors, the GPUs, and everything like that. So I think that switching to x86 as an architecture really is a huge advantage, because that's x86 is just on par with like Intel, Intel based. Yeah. And the other architecture is ARM, like your cell phones use ARM.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, indie developers are going to have a field day.
Yeah, it was great with
for Sony.
Like PS4 is really pushing that notion and that idea for indie games. It was really cool during the press conference at E3. The guy came out and talked about how indie games, you know, are a very big part of gaming now, and they had a bunch of developers with like either new games or games that will be coming to the PS4, like indie games, and they had somebody on stage on a separate screen each playing their own game. And they announced, I think it was like 8 of them. One of them was Don't Starve, which is actually currently out for Steam. You can get it right now, I think. And that's been out for a while. And then the games like, there was one, it was like a Western game. It was like an over-the-top, like over-the-head shooter, like third-person shooter kind of game. There was I don't remember any of the guy that created Oddworld. He's remaking the first Oddworld.
Yeah, and
that's going to be like a
side-scrolling
thing. Yeah. Stuff like that, and they had like all the guys come. There was like 8 games or something,
right?
And it's just really cool that they have them come out and they're playing them in front of everyone. They're like really pushing the indie game thing, which I'm so happy for, because some of the best games are indie games. Yeah. And also, which I think what I'm most excited about is Supergiant Games' new game, Transistor. They were the guys who made Bastion, and their next game is Transistor, and they showed a demo of that during the Sony press conference, and it looks fantastic.
It looks beautiful.
It is a freaking beautiful game, and so is Bastion, to be honest. Bastion is my favorite indie game. That was a fantastic game, and it's really cool because it's got like a it looks like it plays similarly to Bastion, but it's got like this stop time, and it turns into like a turn-based strategy game, almost like RPG game, that you can like, you have to route your attacks and who you attack first and what move you're going to use, and then you go back to real time, it like does it and stuff, and you combo off it. It's a beautiful game, so I'm really excited for that. I know that's coming out for, that'll probably be out for all the systems, but I think it's launching on PS4 and Steam. I don't think it's launching same day with the Microsoft. I'm not sure. At least at that point, I mean, they might change that in the future. But
yeah, and then there's the question of Steam. But that's for another episode, because I think Steam has a lot of
momentum
right now, and it's really tough to decide, okay, do I really want to buy a new console, or do I want to keep investing in Steam and you know, focus on that? I don't know.
I mean, as far as like the press conferences themselves, Xbox didn't really announce, like, even the games they announced at E3, like, there weren't a lot of, especially the launch titles for the Xbox One. I'm looking at the list right now, at least the list as it is right now. The only exclusive that are launching with the system are Dead Rising 3, Forza, LocoCycle, Killer Instinct, Kinect Sports, Rise, and Skylanders. Everything else, Battlefield, Call of Duty, FIFA, that they're all coming off of the PS4 as well. So there's really no Halo game. There's no, you know, there's no like Gears of War.
I mean,
they
teased.
There's no.
This is launch we're talking, but
launch is a big deal, because a lot of the big titles aren't going to come out till next year. So if you really want to sell somebody your system the day it launches, you got to have the game that everyone wants to play. You know what I mean? You got to have that one game. And I'm looking at Sony's launch titles, and theirs are very similar. Battlefield 4, Call of Duty, and stuff. They also have Drive Club, Killzone, Knack, which looks really, really awesome. Lego Marvel Super Heroes, PlanetSide 2, and Warframe. And then they have the similar ones, like I said, like FIFA and Watch Dogs and stuff like that. But even the PS4 launch games, there's Like, they're okay, but they're just not, like, it doesn't make me want to run out and get one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That being said, I did pre-order a PS4 yesterday.
Well, good. Congrats.
I put the pre-order payment down on it, and I didn't pick a game yet because I don't know exactly what I want to get yet. I think I'm going to eventually get Knack. I think that's going to be the first game I order, but I just want to make sure that I get the console first, and then I can always, the games are a little bit easier to pick up, I would think.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I mean, just the way PS4 presented themselves, the way they kind of undercut Xbox, they were a step ahead of the game. They listened to the consumers about what the consumers want instead of Xbox dictating what gamers should want. And I think that's the big difference now. And how many polls I've read now and just reactions on Twitter and Facebook on, you know, quote unquote, who won E3, who was the better press conference, what company made a better impression. And it was like 80% of the people were all about Sony this year.
It was that did it.
Yeah,
the price
is a big deal, and the used game thing is also as much of a big deal. It's just
pretty much.
It's just the fact that they're listening, you know, to consumers, and it's not. They don't feel like they're being taken advantage of. So I guess we could talk about Nintendo just really briefly because that's kind of what their presence was at E3. It was very brief.
Yep.
Basically, just announced a few new games, a new Mario Kart for the Wii U. No surprise there. A new Super Mario World, which is a follow-up to the Super Mario 3D Land that came out for the 3DS 2 years ago. And that was a fantastic game. I love that game. And this game looks really cool. It's an open-world Mario game. It's not side-scrolling. You can play up to 4 players. There's a new cat suit. Did you see the cat suit?
I didn't see the cat suit.
You didn't see the cat suit?
No.
Oh, the cat suit is awesome. You get the cat suit, you can climb up walls, you can pounce enemies.
That's
it's awesome.
Awesome.
It looks really fun, and those games are always fun, you know, but they're not, it's not, it's, they're not reinventing anything by any means, and they're always, you know, they're consistently fun and good games, but they don't really try anything new, and I think that's what's kind of hurting Nintendo now.
Yeah.
They gave a name to the new Zelda for the 3DS, the follow-up to A Link to the Past, a Link Between Worlds, I believe it's called. I'm excited for that because I'm a big Zelda fan, so I'll definitely get that. New Smash Brothers, they showed some new footage of that. They announced Mega Man's a new playable character.
I know. As soon as I saw that,
awesome.
I'm like, I want a Wii U now.
I'm so pumped for that. And Villagers is a new playable character too, which is basically just a generic person from Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Which looks okay. Yeah, I mean that looks cool. And, but they're, I think the official titles now is that they made a statement after the press conference that the official title of the game is Super Smash Brothers 3DS, Super Smash Brothers Wii U. Cause there's two, they're doing kind of what, All-Star, the PlayStation All-Star Battle Royale or whatever that game was called, where they're releasing the game on the handheld and the main system. And they're basically the exact same game.
Well, that's good because.
Right.
Are you going to be able to play multiplayer?
Yes, you'll be able,
to
play multiplayer.
Okay.
So I'm not sure about between a 3DS and a Wii U.
Right.
I'm not sure about the compatibility there. But as far as the 3DS goes with other 3DSs, yes. And as far as obviously the Wii U goes with other Wii Us too.
So I would totally buy a 3DS just to get
right,
Smash Brothers.
Exactly. I mean, I have a 3DS. I don't have a Wii U, but I do have a 3DS. And this is the game, you know, this is the game that I was willing to buy a Wii U for, obviously. And a brand new Zelda game when that inevitably comes out for the Wii U, but that's down the road away.
I know.
I haven't even announced anything yet. But yeah, I mean, if I can get the exact same game on a console, I mean, a handheld that I already currently own, then I save myself $350 to buy, you know, a Wii U, or at least hold off to buying a Wii U. You know what I mean?
And which if is that's why where I, like everybody's gonna like if you guys like, who have you guys who have 3DSs.
Mm-hmm.
I can play against you just with a 3DS. I don't need to go and spend the money on a console.
Yeah.
You can get
the 3DS XL for like $180 if you look right. So, yeah, I mean, so that's basically why I kind of pre-ordered the PS4 because I wanted to see what Smash Brothers was going to be about this year because that, you know, it's one of my favorite games. And now that I know it's going to pretty much be the same game, I'm planning to get it for the 3DS at least for now and then pre-order the PS4. So,
yeah.
Time will tell, I guess. Yeah, but Nintendo, they really need to step their game up. They're falling behind, and I think that this them not having a full, like keynote or anything really new to announce at this year's E3, which has been the biggest E3 in, well, eight years, or since the last consoles were announced. I think that's a poor decision, and I think that it's going to hurt them in this new gen coming up of consoles, because once these new systems are announced, the Wii U is just going to, people are going to forget about it.
I know. It's sad.
It's really sad. Yeah, they really need to, they got to come out with something new. They got to try something new, because they're already losing money
on every console that they sell. They say you have to at least buy one game, and it'll make up for that money, that loss.
Yeah. And even like they're trying to like push this digital thing now with their games, which they're a little, again, behind on, you know what I mean? The other consoles have been doing that for a while now. And the fact that the biggest sized console of Wii U you can get is like 32 gigabytes. I know it's upgradable or you could plug stuff into it, but I'm saying just base model, like basic, just the system itself, like 32 is the highest you can go. If you're really going to push like these digital downloads and stuff, then 32 gigabytes is not going to cut it.
I know, and they're especially just trying to save costs on the console, because they're making a tablet per console and losing money. They can't afford the memory.
It makes sense, but I mean, it's like it's kind of like contradictory. You know,
who knows
how
much money Sony's losing, because they have the best parts in that console, and they have, I don't know, just, I guess they have a service that people are willing to pay for.
Right, and I think Sony learned a lot from their last console. If you remember when the PS3 was first released, it was $599, I think. Yeah. It was $600. And that did not do well for the first, I don't know, how early was it before they had the price drop? It was within the first year, I know that. It was very quick.
I really don't remember, because I wasn't paying attention to the PS3.
No one was buying them, like, whatsoever. They had to drop the price to, I think it was $400. They dropped it to $400 or $350 or something like that. They dropped it to a point where they were losing money on every console they sold, but they had to do it because no one was buying the consoles. And once they did do that, it started the ball rolling and it snowballed, and people started buying it, and they bought more games, and they had new games come out, better games, blah, blah, blah. And they took off, and you know, they saved face, basically, but it was close there for a minute, and I think they learned from that this year, and I think they're realizing that they don't need to make all the money off just buying the console itself. They'll make money. They just got to get people to buy the console first, and the money will come later, I think.
Yeah. Plus the Blu-ray player cost a lot of money at launch.
Yeah, that's
like,
true, too.
Blu-ray
players
were like $1,000 when they came out, and then they dropped slowly.
Yeah. I'm glad these systems play Blu-rays.
I know.
I'm glad.
That's great.
It's just, it's one less device when I'll have to plug in. I could take my Blu-ray player out of there now, and I could put it somewhere else or something. So,
well, I just want to bring up real quick. Huh?
Anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah, I just want to bring up that, like, I think that a lot of the momentum that consoles had, and they had like a stronghold for gaming, right? They were the only place for the longest time, besides like a Game Boy or a DS. That you could play games, not to mention the PC. However, now that almost everybody has a smartphone, they have access to games, right?
Right.
So don't you think it's a little bit desensitizing that you have so much access to games, like, every day? You can get any game you want in your pocket, like any style game, and it's like not a big deal. Oh, well, I don't need a console. Look at the graphics on a Galaxy S3 or an iPhone 4, not to mention the 5 or the Galaxy S4 graphics.
Right. I don't necessarily think that. I mean, yeah, the graphics, being able to show off your device's capabilities and graphics is a very impressive feat. The fact that it's in the device that fits in your pocket, you know, that puts to shame consoles that came out, you know, 8 years ago.
Not yet. Not even. Not quite. Next year they will.
Right.
They'll just catch up to the previous gen next year.
Right. But I don't think anything will ever. Well, first of all, I don't think I'm desensitized by any means. Maybe I'm a special.
You and I are special cases because we've been gaming our whole lives, always using consoles or handheld specifics, for like a DS or a 3DS. But people who aren't exposed to games,
right?
who now are because they have smartphones and go, oh, right. Well, I've never played a game in my life. Now look at mm-hmm. look at this. Whoa, it's yeah. great.
I don't think that I would consider them in the same ranks as, you know, normal people who play games.
They're not. But I still
think that the majority of people who play video games prefer to still use a controller and play a game on a screen that's bigger than 5 inches,
definitely.
10 inches, whatever.
But you I
don't think that's ever going to go away. It will blend in more or less with what you're saying, with you know, other people kind of getting into gaming, or certain people, you know, who kind of get out of the gaming fad and, you know, slowly get out of it, and they, you know, they play games on their phones or iPads or whatever if they only have time, or if they're on the go a lot. But for me, I'll always prefer playing a game on a console or a computer over a phone.
Totally.
I completely
agree. And the only way that cell phones or tablets are going to break into that is if they develop a standard way to control it. I think Wi-Fi right. Direct could be that answer. Because if you create a Bluetooth controller, it's only compatible with certain games that support Bluetooth.
Right.
If you create Wi-Fi Direct, almost every game communicates via the internet and via that radio. So if you're translating it to one standard, that's good. Apple right. is trying to develop MFI, whatever controllers. It's weird. You'll see.
Yeah.
They're going to talk about it pretty soon. And they're trying to create a standard so that people can create companies can create one controller with one radio standard, and then it's compatible with a multitude of games. But I think that a lot of this is going to be pushed over Wi-Fi to your television via whatever controller that's powered by a device in your pocket that communicates with your television over DLNA or some open standard, or like AirPlay. AirPlay is not an open standard. I'm saying DLNA is, but that's more or less the talk right now. Like, are we going to have consoles in 10 years, the next gen, or what is it going to be? Because look at how small things are becoming. The next Xbox or PlayStation might be the size of the
I mean, I think they took a step backwards in that regard for this gen. I mean,
oh my
if
God.
You've seen the Xbox One, it's bigger
huge.
Than a...
Well, if you look at the...
ginormous.
I know. If you look at the biggest graphics cards out there right now, they are ginormous.
Yeah.
But will we need that ginormous
right.
card in 10 years?
Yeah.
I don't know.
True. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up. I just wanted to do this episode because it's right after E3, and I know I talked about, we did a video game episode about this right after the PlayStation 4 announcement back in February, so this is kind of a follow-up to that. I'm sure we'll revisit this whole thing come November-ish when these new consoles are set to release, so.
Pretty much.
But thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Rambling About Notable Topics. You can find all of our episodes, plus the Rant blog, at ajazznetworks.com, as well as our other great content, including Ajaz Tech, The Salinor Show, and Internet Amazings. You can follow the official Rant Twitter at Rambling Topics, and myself at Kyle Cicilloni. You can also listen to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio.
You can find this show and more at Ajaz Networks. Originally different media for your personal taste.